be scary. One time I preached a sermon about community, reminding folks that their presence really matters, really makes a difference, or at least that's how I interpreted what I was saying. But I literally got an email the next day from someone who perceived that their attendance wasn't frequent enough, and they felt shame about it and said, "I guess I shouldn't be a member here." And that is the last thing that these questions are supposed to make people feel. And I think it's one of the reasons we have a hard time asking one another about that, because the last thing we want to do is push folks away when they've been in community with us for long periods of time. But we don't want to be silent either, so how do we talk about this together? But this congregation at its founding decided to build into its structure a set of common goals to hold each other to. In some way, these goals were written in the late 1980s when both CMCL and its founding members were young. I don't know if Diane Umbel is here this morning, but so you can correct me if I'm quoting you wrong. You just made an interesting comment at one of the gatherings of the ages that at the beginning of CMCL, was it the median age of CMCLers was 27? Is that correct? So that was the median age of a member of this congregation 35 years ago, or I don't know the exact time when the congregation started, but it was a young church started by young folks. And CMCL was very much trying to be an upside-down church at its founding, upside-down from many of the church experiences of the folks who founded this church. And many people did have a sense of this kind of ghost haunting them from previous religious experiences. They wanted a place to speak authentically of faith, even if it meant voicing questions. They wanted a place where divorcees and LGBTQ folks who were shunned or shut up in other churches could find welcome and home. I wasn't there, but these are the stories that I've heard. An upside-down church compared to most Mennonite churches in this area for many years, for sure. The language might not be exactly the theological language we use on a weekly basis here, the language of the covenant, but the essence of the covenant is a call to commit ourselves to face our diverse theological understandings with a spirit of openness and love for one another. Those are some of the words in the introductory paragraphs. And an expectation that we show up for each other on a regular basis. So this year, we're inviting you to take the covenant with you, and I invite the ushers, if you'd be willing to go ahead and pass those out. We have copies of the covenant for you to take home with you, and you can always find it on the CMCL website. Our core values are there, too. It's where folks who are looking for a church sometimes spy us out to figure out if we seem like a good place to visit, and the website's there for you, too, if you have questions. And this year, in the weeks between now and March 24, we invite you to think not so much of what you're going to check on a box or a dotted line to sign on, but I'm inviting you to flip the goals into reflective questions for the coming weeks. If you're just visiting this Sunday, enjoy reading our covenant and don't feel like I'm giving homework that you don't want to take on. This is some of the work of our congregation here. But I offered, on one side of the paper are the goals of our covenant, and the other side are a list of questions. And those questions are just my questions. They're meant as prompts and suggestions. You might have very different questions. But I encourage you not so much to look at that list of goals and say, do I attend often enough? Do I read the Bible during the week the way it says here? Maybe I do. Do I do this? Do I do that? But to look at those questions in the spirit in which I think that they were given to this community, to be ways for us, markers for us to think about what does it mean to be community, and what kind of showing up does it take to have rich community? And to think about it from the point of view of, in what ways do I do these things now? In what ways would it benefit me to do these differently? Or how might it benefit the community to do these in certain ways? I think you will know the questions you want to bring to these, but to bring your heart to these and be thinking about it. There are 35 days, I think, if I counted right on my calendar, between now and March 24, and there are 12 goals. So that's one question to ponder every 3 days if you want to take it in bite-size amounts. And I think we'll be looking at this some next week, too, when Leslie has a chance to preach. So why did folks gather on that plane for Jesus? And why do we gather here? There are differences, cultural differences, time differences. Maybe the things that we're tormented with are different. Maybe they're not so different. But we're gathering here, too, for a reason. You are not coming here on a Sunday morning because you have nothing better to do and because it's just kind of interesting to show up with people. We are here for one another because we need this place, because we're trying to figure out what we need and want of God and how to be faithful. So in that spirit, I invite you to take those questions and as a community, engage them and discern with them in the coming month. And in March, we will celebrate our time together. So, amen.
In Sing the Story,